Here tonight to Hebrews chapter 10, and the last message we've done in this series was Christ and all the scriptures. We managed to go from Genesis to Revelation, and Paul and Victoria wondered how Keith Malcolmson ever managed to do that. Well, yeah, you can catch up on the message, but I did manage to do it, and in the time allotted. But here tonight, I want to carry on from that and go a bit further, and my message is Christ and his Bible. Christ and his Bible. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Reading from verse 5 through to verse 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And we're on this series of the Bible, looking at what the Bible is, how it was formed, what the Bible says about itself, what God says about the Bible. But here tonight we're going to find out something of what Christ says about his Bible. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 5. And it says there, wherefore when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Let's pray together. Father, again we pray, O God, that you'd open up the word of God, you'd open up our understanding, you'd open up our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of this book. We're so glad for this book of truth, this book that never changes, this book that cannot lie, this book that's reliable, this book that's been proved, Lord God, through the fire in every generation, and Lord God, yet it's come forth as gold. We do praise you for a book and the words that we can rely on and trust. And Father, I pray tonight that by your Holy Spirit you'd show us what Christ nor God thought of this book. Father, will you reveal the book, the Bible that Christ held, preached, taught, spoke, quoted, believed, O God. Father, I do pray that you make it so real and reveal it in this gathering tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Just reading again, and our message is Christ and his Bible. And notice what I'm saying here, not Christ and the Bible, but Christ and his Bible. That might sound very strange tonight to say that Christ had a Bible. Maybe you've never thought about this. Maybe you've never heard this. Maybe you've not considered Christ and his Bible, that Christ had a Bible. But here tonight, I'm going to persuade you, though I can't cover it all, that's impossible. But I can point out enough to you tonight that as you read the Bible, that you're going to see that Christ had a Bible, that he believed the Bible, that he held to it very strongly, that he preached it without apology, and that he presented it to others to believe. And we're going to look at this, what Christ believed about the Bible, what he taught about the Bible, what he spoke about it, and what sort of Bible did he have. Look with me again in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5. It says, wherefore when he cometh into the world. It's speaking about Jesus Christ here. It's a prophecy about him, and it is him speaking in the prophecy. It is a prophecy in the Psalms of the Old Testament. It is a very old prophecy, more than 1,000 years old, and yet it is applied to Jesus. The words that were spoken in that Old Testament book are revealed here as being in the mouth of Christ and being by Christ, from Christ, and about Christ. What does it say? That he that cometh into the world, speaking of Christ, that he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. It is Christ speaking to God the Father. And he says, you weren't seeking after sacrifice or offering, or else I would have given it. but you desired a body. What was it that God was seeking for? A body. When Christ came into the world and was given a body through the Virgin Mary, and she was a virgin at conception, that body that was given to Jesus Christ was all in the plan of God. Who gave Christ the body? It was God in heaven gave him a body. Listen to what Christ says again. Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. You didn't want bulls. You didn't want goats. You didn't want religious ceremony. What did God the Father want? He actually prepared a body for Christ to offer upon the cross. This was God's plan, not an accident. This was God the Father's plan, that Christ would be prepared in a body, and that that body would be offered up willingly by Christ as a sacrifice to bring pleasure to the Father. It then goes on to say, then said I. First he says, God has prepared me a body. My body has been prepared of God. God wanted me to come in a physical body. Then I said, lo, I come. Now, how did Christ come? What did Christ look like when he came? In what manner did he come? Or with what attitude did he come? Or with what theology and doctrine did he come? It tells us here, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. I want you to notice here as we begin in this message, Christ and the Bible. That it says here, the same Christ who said, God has prepared a body for me. He's actually given me a body that I can indwell and live in upon the earth. That same Christ says, when I come in the volume of the book, because it is written in me. When I come in the volume of the book, it is written everything concerning me. What a powerful statement this is in this book. And I want you to hide this in your heart. Christ himself said of himself in his body that in the volume of the book it is written of me. What is the volume of the book? That term volume is the scroll. That's what it is. In the scroll, in the volume of the book. The word book there is the Greek word biblion, where we get our word Bible. If you want to know where we get our word Bible, it's from this Greek word. And Jesus is saying here, when I come in the volume of the book, because it is written of me. In other words, when Jesus came, he came literally in the scroll of the book, or to fulfill everything written in the Bible, every single prophecy, every promise, every command, every shadow, every type that was written in the Old Testament was actually to be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. That's why Christ came. He came to fulfill every prophecy of the Bible. He came to fulfill every promise. He came to fulfill every commandment. No man has kept all the commandments, but Christ kept them all perfectly. When he came to do the will of God. How do you know that Christ done the word of God? Because he done what this book actually said. So when Jesus came, his entire life, all his words, all his actions, all his doctrine, everything that he does is to fulfill this book. Or if you were to study Christ, you would see that everything in his life lines up with this book. Do you realize that Christ's Bible is the same Bible that you're holding in your hand tonight? Wait, Christ held 2/3 of the Bible that you hold in your hand tonight. It's the very same Bible with the very same books. You see, the book that Christ talked about was the Old Testament. 39 books of the Old Testament. The same that you have in your hand. It was written in the Hebrew language, and it was written over a period of a 1,100 years. In fact, it revealed 4,000 years of history. And do you know what? Those scriptures were handed down over a period of thousands of years into the hands of Christ. And they're rolled up in scrolls and preserved in the synagogues and the temple of Israel. And when Jesus Christ came, he said, I have come to do the will of God. It's written about me in all of those scrolls of Isaiah, of Amos, of the prophets of God. It's all written about me. When he came in his ministry, he didn't say, I've come to speak from God in heaven. I've come to prophesy a new prophecy to you. He said, my entire life is soaked in the Old Testament, the written word of God, books of the Bible, old scrolls, written text. My entire life is connected to a written book. Saints, if you ever find preachers or priests or popes or cardinals or ministers or prophets or apostles who make little of this book, you've got a problem. You're actually dealing with someone who's different than Christ. Yeah. Because when Jesus said he came, when I come in line with this book. You'll know I'm Messiah because I come in line with this book. Listen to what Jesus said here for a moment. In Matthew chapter 7, he talks about the law and the prophets. He mentions this term four times, the law and the prophets. That is a term used for the entire Old Testament, 39 books. Or in Luke chapter 16, he speaks about Moses and the prophets. It's the same thing, the law and the prophets are Moses and the prophets. He says that term twice. Or further still in Luke chapter 24, he speaks about Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. So he's talking about 49 books of the Old Testament. 6 times in the New Testament, Christ uses the word scripture or the word writings. It's only ever used about the Old Testament. And Christ uses that term. He always spoke about the scripture. He uses the term, it is written, many times. 7 times in Matthew, 4 times in Mark, 5 times Luke, and 1 time in John. What is he saying? It is written. He is God manifest in the flesh. He has the power to raise the dead. He heals the sick, the leper, the lame, the blind. He does miracles. And yet when he comes saying, it is written. He always speaks about the Old Testament. He always quotes the Old Testament. He always points to the Old Testament. And he is always in all of his preaching. He always says, it is written. If you can go to church and you don't hear the Bible quoted, there's something terribly wrong. Christ isn't there. If you go and hear a preacher and he tells you stories and testimonies and never opens this book, there is something wrong with him. He's not a Christ man. He's not a biblical man. He's not a real man sent from heaven. Because when you find someone sent from heaven, they say, it is written. Jesus also used several other terms. He talked about the Word of God several times. In other words, the Bible is God's Word, not man's Word. It's from God. In Matthew chapter 5:27, he says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, speaking about the Bible. He's actually referring to it. Or in Luke chapter 11:49, he gives it this name, a very beautiful name. He calls the scriptures the wisdom of God. He actually says the wisdom of God says or speaks. So that is a term for the Bible, the wisdom of God. In other words, when God speaks through the written scriptures, it is pure wisdom. You ought to listen to it if you're wise. Matthew chapter 22 and 31, he also said, have ye not read that which is spoken unto you by God? He's speaking about the Bible, about written text, about print, things that you read. And he says, have you not read what was spoken unto you by God? Since, can I tell you that when Christ comes, he is a Bible Christ. That's why I'm talking about Christ and his Bible. You see, this Bible is Christ's Bible. And he preached from it, he believed it, and he passed it on to you and me. You may be very surprised to know that about 10% of all the words that he speaks in the New Testament are quotes from the Old Testament. We have at least 45 direct quotes from the Old Testament that Christ makes from the Old Testament, quoting it accurately. He quotes from about 24 books, and he refers to about 20 Old Testament Bible characters. That means his entire ministry was soaked with what this Bible says. He read it, he believed it, he memorized it, he knew it, he quoted it. So ought the real church. Well, you find the real church, you're going to find their attitude the same to the Bible. They'll speak about it the same way. They'll treat it the same way. They'll use it the same way. And they'll believe the same thing about it. He quoted the first 5 books of Moses about 26 different times. He quoted from Genesis, from Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He quoted from the Psalms, the Proverbs, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Amos, Jonah, Micah, Zechariah, Malachi, and from other places. He quoted from the book of Exodus 4 times, Isaiah 8 times, Deuteronomy 10 times. And which book do you think that he quoted more than any other in the Old Testament? He quoted from the Psalms 11 times. Since he quoted it an awful lot more. But everything we have in the New Testament is condensed. So this is a percentage, at least 10% of what he actually taught and preached, he just quoted. Does not the Bible say? Is it not written? Did Isaiah the prophet not say this? You see, he was filled with the word of God. Let me take you back to his birth and his education for a small moment. We know that when God was going to bring forth the promised prophesied Messiah, that he searched out a young maiden called Mary in the nation of Israel. She was a Jewess. She was a teenager. But listen to me, and you won't have heard this before. She was a biblical young lady. You hear an awful lot in this city about Mary, of what she was, and you won't find it in here. You won't find it in here. But do you know what you do find in here, written very clearly, is what Mary believed about the Bible. You see, you're shocking me now. Well, let me shock you. In Luke chapter 1, verse 46 to 55, in 10 short verses, we are her song, her salutation. When she was pregnant with the Messiah, the Holy Spirit was upon her and she began to sing. And her song is contained in these 10 short verses. Listen to how she quotes the Old Testament. And you won't have heard this before. Listen to how she quotes the Old Testament in 10 short verses. She quotes from the Psalms 13 times. She quotes from 1 Samuel 3 times. She quotes once from Genesis 17, once from Exodus 2, once from Ezekiel 21, once from Job 22. 20 references, 18 different chapters, all condensed into a 10-verse song. You want to know something about Mary, who was a virgin when she conceived Christ? You know what? She was a young lady. Her mind was filled with the Word of God. Her lips were filled with the Word of God. When she went to singing, she overflowed. Do you realize this wasn't a song she knew? This was a song inspired of the Holy Spirit. This was a song that came out of her innermost being. Do you know Mary was filled with the Word of God? She spoke the Word of God. She believed the Word of God. Why do you think that God chose Mary to bring forth the Messiah? Do you know why? that young girl, that young lady, was saturated in biblical truth. She was saturated in her thinking, in her beliefs, in her convictions. Her theology came from the Bible, not from a priest, not from the synagogue. It came out of the truth of God. And she was raised in a godly home. Saints, that was the home that Jesus Christ was conceived in, born into, and this was the mother who raised him. She was a mother who constantly sang the word of God and spoke the word of God and taught the word of God. You see, I believe Joseph as well was chosen because he was a godly man, a righteous man, an upright man, and a man who knew the Bible, the word of God. Saints, Jesus Christ as a young boy grew up in that home. He was taught the scripture. Listen to me. He learned the scripture. He memorized the scripture. He thought on the scripture. He spoke the scripture. He sang the scripture. He was filled with the scripture. That's what this home was. It was a home literally saturated with the written, spoken word of God. And he got raised around it. You said, how could Christ, if he be God, manifest in the flesh, how could he learn anything? That's a very good question. I'm glad you asked it here tonight. It says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 40, concerning Christ, and the child grew, and he waxed strong in spirit, or he grew strong in spirit. This is Christ as a young boy. And you know what? It says the child grew from an infant. He began to grow, and he grew. That child grew and he waxed strong in his spirit and he was filled with wisdom. Do you realize in his divinity he was always God? He was God incarnate in the flesh, but his human nature had to grow. Do you realize there was a time the human nature of Christ did not know the scriptures, but had to memorize them, had to hear them, had to speak them? Do you realize Mary, mothers, this is going to shock you. Do you realize Mary was there the first time that she ever heard the word mommy put on the lips of that young child? Do you know he didn't come out of the womb saying mommy and quoting the Bible and preaching the word of God? When he was born, he was like every other child. His mommy had to wipe his bum. I'm not being disrespectful. I'm not being irreverent. Or have an reverence here. I am telling you fact and reality. I know the scripture's silent on these things. And yet it's a natural, obvious thing. That this Christ grew in a home where he was taught the word of God. Where he was taught the stories of the Bible. About Moses, about David, about all of these things. Saints, I'm telling you, a very precious thing here. The next time we see him, he is 12 years old. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 46. And you know the story, how they go up to the temple in Jerusalem for the very first time and they lose him up there. And he is lost for 3 entire days. What's a 12-year-old going to do in Jerusalem amongst a great crowd? What's he going to do? Where's he going to go? If he's 12 years old and he gets lost, he's lost mommy and daddy, where is he going to go? I'll tell you where this child went. He went to the temple. He wasn't bored. He wasn't playing on the streets. He wasn't playing ball. What does it say in Luke 2:46? And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of doctors. Can I use a bit of preacher's license and say, I believe a number of them had long white beards. I believe they had more than a few wrinkles on their brow and more than a few years under their belt. He is literally sitting in the midst of doctors. Who were they? Doctors of theology. doctors of the Bible. These were men who had been trained for 50 years, 30 years, 70 years in the Bible. They can quote most of Isaiah. Some of them would be able to recite Genesis without looking at the page. These were men who had soaked their entire life in the Word of God. They were educated men, experts in the Scriptures. This was their job. Who's sitting in the midst of them? A 12-year-old boy sitting with them. And as Mary and Joseph looked in on that, it says that he was sitting in the midst, both hearing them and asking them questions. Look at him. He is hearing them. Jesus, at 12 years old, is listening to these men. Wonder what they're talking about. You think they're talking about sports or political issues? Are the affairs of state? No, they're actually talking in the temple about the prophecies, about Genesis, about Moses. They're talking about the prophets of God. And you know what? It actually says here remarkably, and asking them questions. Asking them questions. Saints, I don't know whether you realize what's happening here, but you've got a young man in preparation in his humanity. He is God. He is God manifest in the flesh. He's 100% God, but he's 100% man in the flesh. And he's asking these doctors of the Word of God. Do you know what he says? I've got some questions for you, old men. Yous experts of the law. I've got some questions for you. And this is where he sat and learnt the theology of God. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. They were asking him questions and they're dumbfounded. In other words, a 12-year-old should know that. Even a young Jewish boy, a 12-year-old boy can know an awful lot of scripture. He can quote an awful lot. He can know all the Bible stories at 12. And yet, why are they shocked? Why are they amazed? You know why? This 12-year-old boy wasn't just reciting knowledge. He had understanding. He had the wisdom of God. And he was able to answer their hardest biblical questions from Genesis all the way through to Malachi. You couldn't have asked him a question that he couldn't have quoted the Word of God and began to reason with you out of the law and the prophets. Saints, that's where we see him at 12 years old. And we don't see him again until he is 30 years old. I'm talking about Christ and the Bible here. I want you to walk out of here persuaded Christ had a Bible of what Christ believed. And that he did hold to certain books within our Bible. I want you to be convinced of that. The next time we see him is at the age of 30. And the Spirit of God is driving him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for 40 days. For 40 entire days, we read that he was tempted, but we only read about the 40th day of those temptations. 39 days, we don't have a record of it, but we do have a record of the last day. And on that last day, the devil comes to him with three very specific temptations aimed at his mind, at his heart, at his outward life. And his physical hunger, that's what they're aimed at. Do you know what he said for each time he was tempted? It is written. Do you know what he done? He reached back 1,200 years. He didn't get a prophecy. He didn't have a vision. He didn't have a dream. He didn't have an angel appear to him, though that happened later. Do you know what he done? He reached back in his mind and his heart. He reached right 1,200 years back into the book of Deuteronomy, and he pulled out three different scriptures, and he said, "It is written." Would you choose the book of Deuteronomy to fight the devil with? If the devil is facing you and you're being tempted with riches and you're being tempted by your flesh and you're being tempted by many other things and you go, man, where's the book of Deuteronomy? Get me Deuteronomy fast. Or where's the book of Leviticus? I know I left it lying around here somewhere. I'm sure I can remember a scripture out of it. Saints, that didn't happen. Do you know what? He had the book of Deuteronomy in his heart, in his mind, in his mouth. And he was actually able to rebuke the devil, defeat his lies, and say, it is written. It is written. There was real spiritual warfare there. You see, this book was a living book. He didn't go against the devil in his own authority. He didn't say, don't you know who I am? He didn't do that. He actually said, the Bible says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Get thee behind me, Satan. Saints, if only you realize how powerful this book is. When you stand before the devil and you say, it is written. Don't go looking for a special revelation. Lord, send me some special word. Read Deuteronomy. Go to my book. Go to the scripture. Oh, it's a dry old dead book. That's old fact. That's old history. I want something in the New Testament. Well, I'll give you the answer in the book of Deuteronomy. Let me take you further to his ministry. The first time he ever preaches in Luke chapter 4 verse 16. And it says he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. Look at it, he's in his hometown. This is a very small community. He grew up there, they know him. His family is known in this place. And it says, in Nazareth. Remember what Nazareth was. That was a place where, you know, if I go north and say, why do you go to Limerick? Limerick people say, why did you ever move to Limerick? Why do you think that is? And when you go to another town or city, do you know that's called Stab City? Yes, I know that. Why did you go to Limerick? God sent me. God sent me. That's why I'm in Limerick. Don't ask complicated questions. Very simple. God put me here to preach the word of God. Well, it was the same about Nazareth. You know what they said? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Nobody would want to be born there, live there. Or have to raise their kids there. What a place that can anything come out of? A prophet certainly couldn't come out of Nazareth of all places. You know, it's the most unlikely place. Listen what it says. And where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. It was his custom. Where did he go on the Sabbath? Into the synagogue. On the Lord's day, the sixth day, the Jewish Sabbath, they went into the synagogue. I'm going to the beach. No, he went to the synagogue. You know why? That's where you go. If you're a Bible man, if you believe the word of God, where are you going to go on the Lord's day? You're going to go to God's house to hear God's word, to meet with God's people. This is God's day. That's what he actually done. And it said it was his custom, his habit, his pattern, his routine, his discipline. He went to God's house and he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And he stood up for to read. He'd been chosen to read the sermon that day. Or to preach that day. And look what he does. He stands up to read. Notice this carefully. This is his first time ever preaching. He's never preached before. He's never publicly in a service read the word of God before. He's never ministered the word of God. And it says he stands up to read. Before he preaches, he read the word of God. He didn't say, I can spontaneously from the Holy Spirit minister. First thing he done was read the scripture. Not from memory, he read it. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, or Isaiah. Notice it was a book, a scroll was handed over to him. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. He actually went to a specific text. Listen to me, preachers especially. He actually went to a specific text. He's looking for his text. And he reads it out because that's where he's going to preach from. You know, if people ever say, you go in and say, the Bible says it's religious. Jesus done it. If anyone says, oh, you get up and start a sermon by turning to a Bible and reading the script. Jesus did it. Why do we do this? Sure, Jesus done it. And that's what he done. He opened to the book of Isaiah and he read this. What was written? He read what was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Notice, he closed the book, he gave it to the minister again, and he sat down. And the eyes of all them in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, you know, he preached sitting and not standing. I know we'd say, you can't do that. Jesus done it. He got into a boat, sat down, and he taught them. He was in the synagogue. He read. He's standing. He showed respect to the word of God. I'm going to stand and read the word of God. Then he sat down and he preached. He gave respect to the written scriptures. And when he sat down, he began to say, or he began to preach. Do you know what happened at the end of the sermon? And I'm glad it didn't happen to me. And I'm glad it didn't happen to Brother Paul or Brother Soph or any of the rest of you. You know what happened at the end of this first sermon? He began to deal with their hearts and began to deal with their sin and began to deal with what they believed and what they didn't believe. And they got angry with them. They went from being amazing. Isn't this a remarkable preacher? And by the end of the sermon they say, we hate you. And it says they all rose up and they carried him outside and they took him to the brow of a hill and they were going to throw him over. He's only preached one sermon. And you know what? He preached it from the word of God, from the written scriptures. And it says just as they're about to throw him over, he walked straight through them. It wasn't his time. He's only beginning his ministry. Saints, I want you to see that this Christ of ours was one who preached the word of God, believed the word of God. He read the scripture just like you and I. But here's the main core of my message here tonight. What did Christ believe about the Bible, the written scriptures, the Old Testament, the 39 books of scripture? What did he believe? Let me give you some points here. First of all, he believed and taught the inspiration of the Bible. What do I mean? The Bible was inspired of God. He said in Matthew 15:3, he called the written scriptures the commandment of God. In Mark 7, he called it the word of God. He actually said that this is God's word, or God said. And yet at the very same time, listen to what else he actually says. He says, Moses wrote this, and David wrote this, and Isaiah wrote this, and Daniel wrote this. And he even revealed that such men as Moses, David, Jeremiah, and Isaiah, and many others spoke from the Lord. It was God that was speaking through them. When they wrote, when they spoke, it was God speaking in them and through them. What is this? This is the divine inspiration of the Bible. That God used many pen men. But all 66 books of the Bible are actually inspired by God. Jesus actually believed this very clearly. In Matthew 22, he said, David spoke by the Spirit. He believed that as these different men spoke, it was the Holy Spirit moving on them. It was God speaking through them. In other words, the Old Testament, he believes it's God speaking to you. Even though it's Moses writing or Isaiah, it is God perfectly speaking. That's the first thing. He believed in the inspiration of God. That God breathed out the words. That all these books are from God. All the teaching is from God. All the history is from God. Secondly, he believed and taught the preservation of the Bible. Not many people believe this today. It would shock you how many men standing in pulpits and churches don't believe this. That God preserved his Bible. Listen to what Jesus said. Matthew 5:18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle, not one comma or one full stop, will pass from the law till it all be fulfilled. In other words, Jesus said, see the Old Testament, the written scrolls of Isaiah and Moses, not one comma, not one full stop is going to disappear or be lost while there's an earth, while there's a creation. In other words, somehow this book is going to be preserved over thousands of years without one full stop being lost at all. That's what Christ taught. Do you know in Jesus' day, the Bible he had The first five books were written by Moses 1500 years before Jesus read them. In other words, he didn't have the original manuscripts. He didn't have the actual bit of paper that Moses wrote on. Over 1500 years, those bits of paper or animal skins had worn out at times, and they were copied and copied and copied and passed on. And we've seen a few weeks ago how you can have 1,000 years that go on for, and it's exactly the same. Exactly. The Jews preserved the Bible very, very accurately. And hear me, Jesus held in his hands a Bible that was 1,500 years old. They didn't have the original Hebrew text, and yet he called it the Word of God. He called it the Scripture, the commandment of God, and he said not one comma is ever going to be lost from it. You see, Christ believed in the accuracy of the Bible. He believed it was correct. He believed it was infallible. He believed in its inerrancy, its perfection. In John 10, verse 35, he said, the Scripture cannot be broken. It cannot fail. It cannot be destroyed. Nothing can be taken away from it. Thirdly, he believed and taught the accuracy of the history of the Bible. You know, in our generation, they say, you don't believe in Jonah, do you? Do you believe that Jonah was swallowed by a whale? Oh, I believe more than that. Do you actually believe that Moses led 2 million people through the Red Sea? Wasn't it the Reed Sea? No. Who's ever heard of the entire Egyptian army, their horses and their chariots getting drowned in the Reed Sea? What a load of rubbish. Don't listen to all this trash they try to put out there. You know what they're trying to do? Bring a supernatural book down to a natural plane. Right. They're trying to explain it with the mind of man. Yeah. But listen to me, Jesus believed in all the miracles of the Bible. Those written 1,500 years before, 1,000 years before, 600 years before. Listen to how he talks about them. In Mark 13 and Mark 10, he accepts and preaches that the creation of all things had a beginning. In Matthew chapter 19 and in Mark 10, he also taught that Adam and Eve were made at that same beginning that everything was created at, and that they were the first man and the first woman. This is what Jesus taught. He speaks in Matthew 23 about the murder of Abel by Cain, the first ever murder in all of creation. In Matthew 24 and Luke 17, he speaks about the days of Noah. He believed in Noah. He believed in the worldwide flood and the destruction of the wicked. He spoke in Luke chapter 17 and Matthew 10 about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah because of their homosexuality. There's nothing new under the sun. In Matthew 8, he speaks about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he even teaches the people that Abraham was still alive in paradise. He was conscious. He was able to speak and able to see. That's what Christ was teaching. He talked about King David reigning and prophesying, and that the kingdom of Solomon was glorious. He talks about the Queen of Sheba as a very real person. You see, Jesus Christ believed in the accuracy of the history of the Bible. In other words, all these people are real people. What you read about in Genesis is real history. All of it are real people, real history, real events that are happening. He believed and taught the accuracy of the history of the Bible. He didn't say it was a fable or a myth or a story or it was something made up to help us understand something else. He never said that. He believed it was accurate, exact history. And even his own genealogy is traced back to Adam and to David and to Abraham, all the way down to his own parents. Let me tell you another thing he believed in. He believed and taught the miracles of the Bible. He taught that in the days of Moses, the Lord did indeed speak out of a burning bush. If you meet someone who says they're a Christian, says they're a follower of Christ and says, I don't believe that. then you don't believe what Christ believed. You see, Jesus actually believed that a voice God spoke out of a bush had burnt, but it didn't burn up. Jesus believed that. If you meet someone who believes that and says they're a Christian, they're a liar, or they're confused, or they're a deceiver. But they certainly are not what the Bible says. Jesus actually believed in John 6 that God dropped manna in the wilderness for the people to eat. For millions of people dropped it out of the sky every single day. And the day before the Sabbath, dropped a double portion for them to gather. In Matthew 12, he taught that Jonah was swallowed by a whale, who then preached to Nineveh. He taught that Elijah did indeed shut the windows of heaven by prayer for 3.5 years. This is all that Christ taught. He believed in the miracles. Every miracle and supernatural incident of the Old Testament revealed in the written scriptures, Christ preached it, he taught it, he believed it, he held to it. He believed it happened literally, miraculously, exactly as written, and that there was no mistakes in it. Since he believed in the Bible's inspiration, its preservation, its accurate history, its miracles, he also believed in its prophecies. The Bible, that's one of the reasons you know the Bible is the Word of God, and I'm going to have an entire message on this. He believed and taught the prophecies of the Bible. When we come to the prophecies of Daniel in the Old Testament, we see that Christ taught that they were indeed prophecies given before the time and fulfilled accurately. That Daniel was a prophet, and that certain things that he prophesied, even in Christ's day, had not yet happened. Jesus actually accepted a literal interpretation of all of these prophecies. He never tried to explain them away or to spiritualize them. He believed they would happen literally as written. When he quoted Daniel the prophet, he says, when you see come to pass, that abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel, standing where it ought not, then you know that the end is nigh. He actually said, when you see it come to pass. You see, he's quoting Daniel. He's quoting the Bible, prophecy, and saying one day soon it is going to happen. There was no doubt cast by him on the fact that prophecy is real. He speaks about Daniel being a prophet, David being a prophet, Moses being a prophet, and many others. Saints, I'm giving you a brief overview here from his birth all the way down, all through his teaching ministry. As he quoted the Bible, he believes the Bible's reliable. He believes in its authority. He believes you ought to obey it. It's God's word to you. It is truth. It cannot lie. It is eternal, and it must be believed to be saved. And that's what Christ taught about the Bible. You can't believe in Christ and not believe in the Bible. You can't say, I'm a Christ follower, but I have doubts about the Bible. Then you're confused. You know why? Because the real Christ of the Bible, this is what he believed. This is what he taught. This is what he gave to us. The Jews of Jesus, they accepted the scriptures, but rejected the Christ. The church of our day accepts the Christ, but rejects the written scriptures out of which he came. You can't do that. You've got to accept the scriptures and the person of Christ. He exhorts us to accept the scriptures. The scriptures exhort us to accept him. Jesus never belittled the scripture. He never set it aside. He never criticized it. He never contradicted it. He never opposed it. He never sat in judgment of it, trying to find out if Isaiah really wrote Isaiah, or if it was written by 3 different Isaiahs. He didn't try to find out if Daniel was written after all the prophecies or before. He accepted it as it literally was. Saints, let me finish here tonight. Jesus constantly quoted the written scriptures. He delighted to draw forth from them. He could not preach without them. He wanted to turn to the written scriptures. He believed in all the stories. He talked of all the persons there as real people, and if they were dead, that they were now in paradise. He was a man of only one book. The Old Testament was his Bible. It was his only book. He never quoted politicians. He never quoted philosophers. He never quoted ancient history. All he ever quoted from was the Bible and said, "This is the Word of God." It not only filled his heart, but it filled his mouth. It filled his sermons. It filled his thoughts. It filled his answers. It filled his questions. He had a response from the Word of God for every single situation. If you come to him with a query, he would answer with the Word of God. If you come to criticize him, he would answer with the Word of God. If you came to kill him, he answered with the Word of God. If others were being attacked, he answered with the Word of God. If your body needed healing, he answered with the Word of God. Saints, he used the Bible against his enemies, against the devil. He used the written scriptures to encourage his friends and to reach the multitudes. He exhorted people to believe it, to read it, to obey it, to follow it, to adhere to it, and to change their whole life, to walk in the light of it. He says, "I have not come to do away with the law. I have come to fulfill the law." When he reached the end of his days, the end of his earthly journey, the end of his bodily ministry, the end of his 3.5 years of preaching, teaching, prophesying, when he was crucified on the cross, he only spoke 7 things as he hung on the cross. Only 7 things. 3 of those 7 things were direct quotes from the Old Testament. He quoted from Psalm 22 and he quoted from Psalm 31. Almost half of all he said on the cross was just direct scripture. That's what was in him, and that's what came out of him. In fact, there are 25 clear prophecies in the Old Testament about his life that were all fulfilled in 24 hours in around the cross. 25 Old Testament prophecies. And more than that, there are 191 prophecies in the Old Testament, at least, some say well over 300, that all predict the life, the death, the burial, the preaching, the healing, the ministry, the resurrection of Christ. And all through Christ's ministry, do you know what you hear him saying constantly? "I came to fulfill the written scriptures. I came to fulfill what Moses said, what Isaiah said, what Daniel said, what the prophet said, what Moses wrote. When Moses wrote, he was writing about me. When the prophet spoke, they were speaking about me. I came in the volume of the book. I came to do the will of God. It is my delight. The Word of God is in me. It's my chief desire to fulfill the Word of God and to finish my course and to offer up my life to my Father in heaven." He spoke about Lot's wife and gave a warning. Since his entire life, ministry, and even when he was raised from the dead, when he began to meet the disciples, 2 disciples on the road to written, and he takes them to the Word of God, and their hearts begin to burn. When he first meets with his own personal disciples, he said, "Oh, you foolish and slow to believe all that Moses and the prophets wrote about me." He rebukes them for not believing the written scriptures. And in John chapter 5, he actually says, "If you'd believe Moses, you'd believe me. If you'd actually believe what is written in the Old Testament text, it would lead you to me, and you'd believe my New Testament gospel of redemption." Saints, I exhort you here that if you're a Christian, a Christ follower, a disciple, someone who believes that Christ died for you, God loves you, that God has a plan for you, and that there is a place of salvation, can I exhort you here tonight? Do you believe about the Bible what Christ believed about the Bible? Do you respect it, read it, quote it, memorize it? Do you hold to it without compromise? Will you suffer for what it teaches as Christ did? Do you realize they hated him when he preached the word of God? But he loved men. He spoke the truth. He was Alpha and Omega, the first letter of the Greek alphabet and the last letter. It's no accident that he pulls out the two letters of the Greek alphabet and says, I'm Alpha and Omega. I am the alphabet. I am the words of Scripture. I am the Word of God. I am the Logos. And you know what? All those who come unto me, I will give you eternal life. Let's pray together. Let's stand.